Couple of special programming reminders. First of all, I know I've been telling you about this, but thank you very much to Brian Segrest and the folks at GoUSFBulls.com. You could see it on the banner headline, as they say, on the website, all over the place. Now you know there are two channels of 24/7 Bulls coverage. Download the app today. So thank you. The eyes are going to be even more and the ears more on our channel. We really do appreciate that. And as part of that, and you can see it on the left-hand side, actually, on the main page of GoUSFBulls.com, and this is something you've heard me stress, and we'll probably get sick of hearing me stress it, but we are the exclusive home of Bulls basketball. Bulls Unlimited is where you will hear, and only where you will hear, both the men's and women's basketball games. And sort of to drive that point home today on the station and the next few days, we are going to be replaying some of last year's most exciting basketball games. So if you're wondering, why am I listening to basketball? Actually, you will enjoy listening to the game, so you might not even wonder that. But just in case you were, that is why. We want to make sure people are fully aware that aren't already that we are going to have those games. So today, for example, wanted to toss in just a thrilling win by the women's team against Oklahoma. Also, that big conference win to start things off for the men against UConn that really got them off to the right start in conference play. Well, the men's soccer team got off to the right start in conference play, and that was last Friday night against UConn. They looked to carry it over at Corbett Stadium on Tuesday night against an FGCU team that, again, we told you on yesterday's show was below 500, but you look at their record, and even after I recorded the show, one of the teams that they lost to, Fullerton State, got ranked number 11 in the country at 8-0-1. And again, they started off the same way that the Bulls did last year, going to Michigan against two ranked teams, and came away with a win and a tie. And even though one of the teams was ranked 7th at the time, Michigan State actually was 0-5-2 until getting a victory against Rutgers last week. And the point is, they started off very strong, 3-0-1. And then they went up against those two teams out in California and UCF. And then I thought the mysterious loss was the effort against FAU until last night. And that was when FAU led UCF, newly ranked 11th in the country, late in the second half. Knights had to score a goal to send it to overtime in the last few minutes and then got the win. So really, FGCU is better than its record shows. And then last night, the Bulls kind of outplayed them. In fact, out-mentality'd them. If that's a word, I know it's not. But once they got ahead, the Bulls really held strong. They tried to score a goal, but I think this was almost a test for Bob Buthorn to his team to maintain a 1-0 lead. You can almost play that way and say, less risky if it's not a conference matchup, but still an important game. Again, FGCU is a team that has some serious clout with that schedule. Their computer ranking is going to be high, and again, the Bulls trying to build wins against those type teams so that at the end, they can be in a position where they don't have to win the American Athletic Conference Tournament. That is not going to be an easy tournament to win unless the Bulls can pull off a hosting spot, which would entail beating either SMU or UCF. And again, we mentioned ranked 4th, now in the country, the Mustangs, they rolled again last night to 9-0. And UCF, they both come to Tampa. I'm telling you, next week, next Friday night, I'm not actually going to be going to the game because I'm going to a concert, Built to Spill. Hello, got to see them whenever they come to Tampa. But I'm going to stay at that game until I have to leave. But the Bulls, if they don't win the conference tournament because of these wins they're racking up against good teams, it's really going to help their case for an at-large bid and getting back to the NCAA tournament. Now, last night at Corbett Stadium, of course, the Bulls had come off two wins in a row where all three goals were on corner kicks served up by Avion Flanagan. His to Jonathan Rosales for the only goal at UNF. That was last Tuesday. And then on Friday night, Emilio Icaza wasn't directly off the corner kick, but the opportunity was created by the Flanagan corner kick. And then the winner in that same game was Flanagan to the head of Javane Brown, who is an outstanding sophomore defensive player for the Bulls, just named Defensive Player of the Week. Well, Flanagan had just been subbed out and actually would not come back in the game, so Bob Buthorn really liked his injection of subs towards the middle and latter portions of the first half, Victor Claudel being one of them. That was a big deal. The freshman who still is among the team leaders in scoring, even though he had missed the last three games. He would come in, Trey Jackson would come in and provide an uplift, and oh yeah, Freddie Gill. He would come in and serve up a corner that was the only goal of the game.
So it looks like it'll be Gill taking it, patting his head, sends in a nice left curler, and
jumps.
Oh, right on the end of it, and a goal! What a beautiful header! So it was Flanagan who served it perfectly onto the head of Javane Brown a couple nights ago.
Gill said, I can do it too. What a header. It's 1-0.
Great header. He's one of the best players I've seen, Devin Brown, from jumping from a standing position. He doesn't need a run.
Yeah.
He stands and he jumps so high, very difficult to defend.
Impossible to defend.
It really
he just,
is.
He just shot up in the air.
Because you don't get a chance to grab, you know, to put a body on him. He just stands and jumps from a vertical, you know, straight up.
Looking back at the replay, and this was pretty slick, Javain came into the penalty box, and he was kind of standing off to the right side. There was a player of FGCU's team who knew he was involved and kind of hovered around him, but Brown was like bending over, adjusting his shin guards, acting like he wasn't being part of the play. And then right as Gill basically was starting his run up to the ball, Brown shot into the middle of the penalty box, stood up, and then just bolted up in the air and powered it in with that head, just as Alan Anderson described. It was something else. And that was it. The Bulls did have their chances. Adrian Bilhart, you can hear the full replay, of course, and check out our schedule for those replay times at Bulls Unlimited. But Adrian Bilhart, it's been two seasons since he scored. He broke in twice last night. And I just can't wait till he gets out of that because I think he's going to start pouring it on. But the Bulls are doing very solidly, even without their leading scorer from 2 years ago getting on the score sheet yet as a goal scorer, because they've been doing it off of set pieces. And boy, last night really did reflect it in that way, because FGCU had some corner kicks and had some decently close to the goal free kicks and just couldn't do anything with them. Bulls very solid defensively, but that's an area of the game they are winning right now. And again, they shut down FGCU for the most part, and it was wonderful to see Victor Claudel in there. Even though you'll hear late in the game, player for FGCU took a run at him, and for a kid who's just coming off an ankle injury, we thought he had another one.
By Rosales, and then
play,
some
Rosales.
Slick moves to get something on. Guerrero has Claudel running to his right. Claudel
breaks
is going
now.
To could have a break, but maybe they're thinking, oh, man, that's got to be a red. Edwards yep. just had a yellow.
He's
got to go from the game.
So he's gone now.
And I'm telling you, right in the lower leg of Claudel, who was coming off an ankle injury, and that is just massively obvious.
Got a red card, did the Eagles, and that sort of sealed their fate. And sort of a different game again for Bob Beardhorn. You could tell this was not going to be a pile-on, tack-on the goals. It was going to be a bring-it-home game, and he was appreciative that they were able to pull it off against his former school, the one that he began in 2007 and left to be the Bulls head coach.
It was a classic Florida derby, there's no doubt about it, and it was especially, you know, a place that I have a lot of ties to, as we know, and so the game lived up to what it should have been last year, but it has been over the years. And I was just proud of my guys and the way they responded to different things, and we're getting close. These Tuesday games are always tough for all the teams. But I thought our mentality was really good, and the guys' fight was really good. And, you know, they really stuck to the tactics, and I think their execution was great.
You know, he referenced last year, that's when the Eagles won 5-3 and Shaq Adams had a hat trick. He was a practical non-factor on Tuesday night. Again, a reflection of how the Bulls have really stepped it up defensively this year. Bulls are at Tulsa on Saturday night, looking to go to 2-0 in conference play. And speaking of conference play, it's a pretty critical match on Friday night for Courtney Draper's volleyball squad. I'll try and catch up with her before they leave town to go to ECU. Bulls, really, with that loss to UConn the other night, put themselves in a tough spot. And I know it's two matches into an 18-match schedule, so it sounds like I'm overreacting, but something that's different this year about the conference and makes this Friday match so critical. I think you know this by now. If you don't, the American Athletic Conference, for the first time, will have a conference tournament in volleyball. But the other part of things that they changed was now it's divisional play, which means, unlike every other year in the conference, you play just the teams in your division twice, and the other division, the West, in the case of the Bulls, once each. Well, guess what? The best two teams in the conference are in the same division as the Bulls, as it turns out. Why is that a big deal? Because you're playing those teams twice, and unless you can knock off Cincinnati or UCF, and it's possible, granted, but if you assume losses to those teams, that's four losses. The six teams in the West only have to play them once. So that's two matches that basically you are already in the hole, and if you're trying to finish in the top half of the league, the teams in the West are going to have a big-time advantage. That's just how it's shaken out this year. It could be different in the next year. It's like if you had the NFL where the two best teams in the league were in the same division. Those other two teams in the division are basically off to an 0-4 start trying to catch up to the rest of the conference. That's what we have this year. And that's why when you play, frankly, a team in your division that you should be better than on paper, and I'm talking about UConn from Sunday, and you get to play UConn twice and you lose the first match, you are really not going to quite call it on shaky ground, but in a spot where you start to have to win, maybe have to go, say, 5-1 against the West, because, again, those teams don't have as tough of a schedule. Well, ECU is one of those teams in the East, basically on par with UConn, maybe a little bit better, and that's who the Bulls face on Friday. They play Cincinnati on Sunday, so unless they plan on beating the Bearcats, if they were to lose to ECU, you're looking at a 1-3 start in conference, and already you're fighting back to try and make it into that top half and make it to the conference tourney. So no pressure, just giving you the honest circumstance for the volleyball team. And I know they have the talent. They just had a kind of a mystifying loss on Sunday, and we'll see how they bounce back from it. Tomorrow's show, you'll catch Kerwin Bell and Brian Jean-Marie, and also plan on speaking to women's soccer after their last practice before they head for a big Texas road swing. Thanks for listening to Bulls Beat. I'm Derek Sharp.